Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving Father in heaven, we praise thy great and holy name. Father, we count it a great joy and a great privilege to assemble in your house with these thy children to offer up praise and thanksgiving. Father, we're thankful for all your tender mercy to us. We couldn't begin to enumerate all the ways that you've blessed us in the past, and we have promised, Father, that you'd continue to bless us. But Father, we are most thankful for thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that you gave him to be an offering for our sin, that he willingly took our sins upon himself, bore them to the cross, Heavenly Father, that we might have peace with thee. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity to praise you for all that you've done. Father, we remember those who are not able to assemble in your house this day, those who are sick and afflicted, those who are confined to their homes and in nursing homes or wherever they might be. Father, we ask that you, by your Holy Spirit, would visit them and bless them and provide for their needs this day. We pray when it is pleasing in your sight that you'd restore health to all those who are suffering, that you'd calm troubled minds, Father, and that you'd just provide for every need. We are mindful of those who are in the path of the storm this day, and pray that you'd work your will in each life, that you'd bless abundantly those who are in need. We pray that you'd bless the church wherever she's assembled, that your people might be revived. Bless us just now, Father, that we might worship thee in spirit and in truth. I pray that you'd bless me to preach the gospel and bless each one of us to hear. Give us understanding and give us a willing heart to do your will. Forgive us our sins, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. And I want to read beginning at verse 50, and I'll read down to the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. Again, Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53. And this, of course, is speaking of Jesus Christ. It says, "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands, and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God." Amen. Now this is Luke's account of Jesus' ascension into heaven. As you are aware, or I trust you are aware, after Jesus died on the cross and he was raised from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. He spent 40 days with them, teaching them, communing with them, and then finally he ascended back to glory. The four gospel accounts of Jesus' last day, Matthew and John both give us Jesus' last words to his disciples before he went into heaven. Mark simply mentions that Jesus ascended to heaven, and Luke gives us some bare details of his ascension. Luke also wrote the book of Acts, and in that first chapter it talks about Jesus being received up into a cloud. As I said, this is just very bare information about Jesus returning to heaven. But the impression I have, and what I understand that the Scripture teaches, that Jesus simply by his own power began to go up. And he went up into heaven, and finally the clouds, he ascended into a cloud and disappeared from their sight. Jesus, with all power over nature, and I just know by his own power, he went up. He may have overruled the law of gravity or all those other things. It's in his hands. I don't know. But I know that he went up. And in this passage of Scripture, Luke tells us that he led them out of Bethany. He had spent that time with them. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And then, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. In the very act of Jesus blessing those disciples, And I understand that the disciples were the representatives of the church. He was blessing them on behalf of the church, or blessing the church through them. So those blessings apply to us just as it did to those disciples. But in the very act of blessing, Jesus went up. Now, this is my opinion. The Bible doesn't tell it. But I believe He was blessing while He went up. And when He disappeared out of their sight, He was still blessing them. And I believe that was a promise of His eternal blessings, that even in heaven today, He is still blessing His church. Now, what does it mean to be blessed? And notice that in verse 53, and I think this is a result of being blessed, they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. So the disciples were blessing God. How in the world does a sinful man bless God? But this word, the word blessed as it is used in the Bible, when men are said to bless God, it simply means they're thanking God and praising Him. We can't add anything to God. We have nothing to give except our praise. So we give praise and thanksgiving unto God, and that's how men are said to bless God. You know, also in the Old Testament, it talks about those prophets of old blessing the people. When a prophet blessed the people, they were proclaiming to them God's promise of blessing, or prayer for blessing. We often bless one another. We pray that God would bless, that God would bestow favor and benefits upon His people. But when God blesses man, He gives, He bestows benefits and goodness upon His people. And I believe that's what Jesus was doing as He ascended. He was blessing those disciples. He was conferring goodness and benefits upon them. Now, we talk about sometimes about material blessings. And don't ever forget that the material things we have, the house we live in, the food we eat, the clothes we wear, all of those are blessings from God. And, you know, some may say, well, I've worked hard for what I've got. And if that be the case, it was because God gave you the will and the ability and the opportunity. It is no less a blessing from God, I don't care how hard you may have worked, to obtain those things. And just let me say, you better thank God and praise Him for those blessings. They come from Him. But what Jesus was bestowing upon the disciples at this time, and as I said, they are representatives of the church. I think it was an understanding of peace with God. An understanding that He was constantly with them. As Matthew records Jesus' last words, He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." That whatever they did, Jesus was going to be there. He was going to strengthen them. And He gave them that desire, and they worshiped. And He gives us the ability, the understanding to worship God. That's what we're about, what we were created for, to praise and worship God. So it is an enabling, it is peace, it is comfort, it is all those things that we feel deep in our souls that come from God. Jesus blessed, and today He's still bodily in heaven looking down and communicating through His Holy Spirit that is with us and bestowing good blessings, benefits upon us right now. And when Jesus did that, when Jesus blessed His people, and as He blesses His people today, I understand that it is as a high priest. And we go back and look through the Old Testament, the priesthood and the way they worshiped, the tabernacle and the later in the temple. I believe all that is figurative. It is a type of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our great high priest. You remember that under the law of Moses, the priests were from the tribe of Levi. But we're told that Jesus is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There's a different order to the priesthood, but nonetheless, Jesus is a priest and he blesses as the priest. Let me give you some Old Testament scriptures concerning the blessings of the priest. In the book of 1 Chronicles, in the 23rd chapter, 1 Chronicles chapter 23, in verse 13, I'm just going to read one verse because this is a list of genealogy and it's going back and talking about the tribe of Levi from whom God took the priest and those who served in the temple. But in verse 13 it says, the sons of Amram, Aaron and Moses, and Aaron was separated that he should sanctify the most holy things, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister unto him, and to bless in his name forever. So that was the reason God established that priesthood, called those Aaron and his sons to perpetually bless the people in the name of God. That is to pronounce, to make them understand God's blessing. And you know, God gave a formula for how they were to bless the people. In the book of Numbers, in the 6th chapter, and I trust that you'll be familiar with this passage. I've read it to you a number of times, and I would encourage you to refer to it often. Numbers chapter 6, and beginning at verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, the Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. So there is God's promise of blessing, his command to the priests of how they are to bless the people. This is a pattern that we ought to pray for one another, for our loved ones, and for ourselves, that the Lord would bless. The Lord would provide those good things that we need, that the Lord would keep us, that he would hold us in the very palm of his hand, be a wall of protection around us. And brothers and sisters, we need God's protection today. Protection from the storms that blow. Protection from the enemies that come against us. Protection from Satan and his temptations. Without the Lord's hedge around us, we'd be destroyed. So we pray that the Lord would keep us. The Lord make his face to shine. That we would see the glory of God. You know, I know, as sinful creatures, in this life, we'll never be able to see the complete glory of God. It would be a blinding light that we just couldn't endure. But in the face of Jesus Christ, we can see something of the glory of God the Father. In the face of Jesus Christ, we can see His love and His mercy and His grace. We can begin to comprehend the glory of our Lord, and His face begins to shine upon us, and the Lord is gracious to us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In this old world, we're never going to have a physical peace. There's always going to be enemies that come against God's people. But down deep in our hearts, we know that through Jesus Christ, we have peace with our Heavenly Father. And even in the midst of the storms, when those three Hebrew children walked in the midst of the furnace, I believe they had perfect peace because one walked with them. Jesus Christ, our gracious Lord and Savior, and He'll be with you through every furnace, through every storm, through every water that you might go through. The Lord is going to be there. The Lord is going to bless His people. So as I've already said, Christ is that great high priest, a priest after the order of Melchizedek. You know, as we consider that Levitical priesthood, as I've already said, they picture the work of Jesus Christ and different aspects of what He would finally do. Have you ever thought about the fact that when we study about that priesthood, that the Lord prescribed two sets of garments for the high priest to wear? I think we tend to think more about the glorious garments that He wore. And in Exodus chapter 28, it describes the making of the high priest's raiment. And Exodus 28, let me read the first three verses. This is God's command to Moses. He says, "And take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, either even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." So those garments were for glory and for beauty. They were made of gold, and they were made of blue and purple and scarlet. They were made from fine linen. They were ornate, and they were very beautiful. And in the normal work of the high priest, he wore those glorious garments. But there came a time that he took those garments off. One day in the year, on the Day of Atonement, that one day when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he didn't go in wearing those glorious and beautiful garments, but he went in wearing garments of simple, plain, white linen. In the book of Leviticus, in the 16th chapter, Leviticus chapter 16 and verse 4, again, God's commandments to Moses concerning Aaron. "And he shall put on the holy linen coat, and he shall have linen breeches upon his flesh, and he shall be girded with a linen girdle, and with a linen mitre shall he be attired. These are holy garments, therefore shall he wash his flesh in water and put them on." So he laid aside those beautiful and glorious garments and put on the plain white linen garments to go into the holy place before God. You know what that's representative of? Jesus laying aside His glory. All the glory of heaven. Jesus didn't need any garments to be beautiful and glorious, but in heaven He had the praise of angels. All His glory was manifested there, and He put off those garments and put on flesh, became a man, yet sinless. In the purity of spotless humanity, in the clean white linen garments, Jesus would enter into the holy place. He would go before God to make an offering for the sins of His people. The Levitical priest went with the blood of bulls and goats. But he had to do that year after year, signifying that it was only a type, it was only a picture, that those things could not actually take away sin. Jesus Christ entered into the holy place without sin, in the purity of His humanity, to make a perfect offering to God. In the book of Hebrews, in the 9th chapter, we begin reading at the 6th verse, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 6. In the book of Hebrews, there's a contrast made between the Levitical priesthood and all the operation of the law and the perfect fulfillment in Jesus Christ and the blessings we receive under the gospel. Hebrews chapter 9 and beginning at verse 6 says, "Now these things were thus ordained. The priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the heirs of the people. The Holy Ghost thus signified that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing." You see, what he's saying is that tabernacle was a picture. It signified something else that was yet to come, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. See, even though the priest made those offerings, people were still aware that they were sinners. They understood that that didn't take away the sin. Verse 10, "which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances opposed unto them until the day of reformation. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." What Jesus did was forever. It was for us. The first and greatest blessings that God has given us is life eternal. And as Jesus made that great high priestly prayer in the Gospel of John, he said, "I give unto them eternal life, and this is a life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son." That knowledge of God is the essence of the eternal life that he has given us. And in Jesus Christ, we have all blessings. Eternal life and everything that accompanies it, so that we might know God, that we might praise Him, that we might serve Him. In the book of Ephesians, in the first chapter, the Apostle Paul, really, in this one chapter, gives us a glimpse of all that God has done among men. Going back in eternity before the world was ever created, and going forward to the time that the world will be no more, all that God did and why God has done it is really contained in a germ form in this one chapter in the book of Ephesians. If we could grasp this one chapter, we know just about all we need to know about the gospel. But I want to begin reading Ephesians chapter 1 and the 3rd verse. And Paul said, "Blessed be God." There again, man can't give God anything, but God can praise and give thanks. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, we talked in Bible study this morning. I know some of you make notes in the Bible, and you can tell me how many times I've preached from a particular passage. I don't know what you've got written in your Bible. I don't know how many times I've preached from this specific text, but I can tell you I've referred to it time and time again. And it is it's one that touches my heart, but it's one that you need to understand. God hath, and every time I go to it, I emphasize this, that's past tense. It's something God has already done. You're not going to do anything to earn more. You're not going to do anything to earn anything with God. But your works are not going to affect it because God has already done it. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. And I know I emphasize this part every time too. All. Now what can you add to that that God has not already done? He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. God's blessed us with things down here on the ground. But they come to us especially in heavenly places. And that's not just in eternal heaven. But it's those high places where God lifts us up and gives us fellowship with Himself. When He makes us to realize that we're not of this earth. That our citizenship is in heaven. And we know those blessings, but they are in Christ. When God gave His only begotten Son to His people, He gave us absolutely everything. They all come in, through, and by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Paul goes on to give some details according as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Before we ever were, we were in the mind and purpose of God. Before He ever created anything, He thought about each one of His children. He thought about me. And He thought about you. And He chose us in Christ that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. We should be today. We are holy, set apart. But one of these days we're going to be perfectly whole, holy, and we're going to experience the full love of Jesus Christ. Without sin to block anything from us. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, I know I don't have time to go into this, but He predestinated. God determined beforehand that this is how it's going to be. When God determines, it will come to pass. I make some determinations, I can't follow through on them. God has all power, all wisdom, all knowledge. When God predestinates, it is going to come to pass. Predestinated unto the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of His will. Doesn't have anything to do with your will and what you want. It's about God's will. And here's the purpose. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the beloved. God is doing this for His glory, so that we can see His glory and so that we can praise Him. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. And again, I know I don't have time, but think about forgiveness of your sins. Think about if you had to bear the guilt of all that you've done in your life. That you had to stand before God and give account of all that you've done. But we have forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Again, we're told it's according to God's will and His purpose. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on the earth, even in Him. In one of these days, God's going to gather all His children together in glory. We'll be there with Adam, with Elijah, with Moses, with David. I can't imagine what it would be to be in the presence of those men. But it'll be eclipsed by being in the presence of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Notice how many times we're told that God works according to His will, according to His purpose, and God works according to His glory, that we might praise Him. I skip down to the 14th verse. It talks about the earnest of our inheritance. We have a little foretaste here. An earnest is just something that assures us of the coming of the fullness. The earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. We've been bought and paid for, and one of these days Jesus is coming to get what He paid for unto the praise of His glory. So three times in that one chapter we're told that God does this for His glory. That we would praise and glorify Him. That we would bless God because we have been blessed. And as Jesus ascended up into heaven, blessing His disciples, I can promise you by the Word of God, He's still there, blessing His children. I pray that you'll enjoy His blessings, that you'll thank God for His blessings, but that you'll realize that those blessings are for a purpose, that we might praise God. Give Him thanks. Give Him glory. Give Him the obedience that He is due. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.